At this time, would you join me in the prayer for illumination of God's word? God, source of all life, by your word you give light to the soul. Pour out on us the spirit of wisdom and understanding, that our hearts and minds may be opened as your word is proclaimed to us today. In Jesus' name we ask, amen.
Our scripture lesson is Matthew 2nd chapter, verses 1 through 23, the entire chapter. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way. And the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said. "Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up and took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. "A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more." After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who are trying to take the child's life are dead." So he got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea in place of his father, Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee. And he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. So was fulfilled what was said through the prophets, he will be called a Nazarene. So ended the book of the Bible.
Hi, Happy New Year. We've got a whole lot of space here. Come on up on the stairs by me. No, up on the stairs. Come on. Henry. Come on. There? Then I want you to face me so you can watch me. Come on. There we go. See, I knew you could do it. Did you have a good holiday? Yeah, a good Christmas and a good New Year's? Da-da-da. Wonderful. So today, we're going to talk about another part of Jesus' birth. We're going to talk about wise men. Do you know what wise men are? Who they are?
He was a wise man for Christmas.
That's right. You were a wise man for Christmas. Yes. So there's the verse that Carol just read in Matthew 2, verse 11. The wise men bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and they gave him presents of gold, incense, and myrrh. Who were the wise men? They were men who studied the stars. When you go out at nighttime, do you see stars in the sky? Well, these men studied that, and they would look at the patterns like the Milky Way or Orion's belt, and they would find reasons and why those patterns were in the sky. They lived in the east, probably in Persia. They were descended from Magi in the court of Babylon. If you look back in the Bible in Daniel chapter 2, you'll find an interesting thing. Daniel, a Jew, was in charge of all the wise men. Then what do you think would happen if he was in charge? Undoubtedly, Daniel told these men about the prophecies and the stories the prophets of Israel had told. One of those prophecies was about the star. That was in Numbers, if you want to look that up, Numbers 24. That would come from Jacob. This star would be a sign of what? The star was a sign of Israel's Messiah, baby Jesus. The wise men passed this message on from generation to generation, and we've been reading about generations, how families go back so far. Finally, they saw the star themselves, and they came to Israel looking for the new king. Their faith had lived through many generations. Each family, each wise man had been faithful to God and passed that story on and on and on. And now these three wise men finally get to see it come true, that the baby Jesus was born and that they would go and worship him. Have we been able to put our faith into the baby boy that was born under that star? If you have, you are a wise man too. So we have to remember to be faithful, to remember why Christmas comes every year we celebrate Jesus' birthday. And we have to be able to pass that story on generation after generation. I know my grandma and grandpa told me that story. My mom and dad told me that story. I told that story to my children, and now my son's telling that story to his daughter. So it goes on and on. We have to remember to be faithful and to let that story continue so that others will always know about God's love for us and that wonderful gift of his son that he gave us at Christmas. Okay, let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for being faithful to us. Help us to be faithful to you and to pass your story on and on and on so that we too can be wise men to come worship you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much for coming in.
What's your sign? What's your sign? Pisces, all right? Gemini? Okay. Everybody know your sign? Anyone interested to know what my horoscope is for today? Take a cold shower to jumpstart yourself today, Virgo. It's fine if you laze around a bit in the morning, but by evening you should be working at full capacity. Better hope I'm not lazing around this morning. You will be called into action whether you want to be or not. Notice how active your dreams are tonight and over the next couple of nights. Messages are trying to get through, so listen. Feeling discouraged lately? Call now for a free psychic reading. It's kind of fun, kind of silly. Some people take this stuff really, really seriously and like go out of their way to do different things based on what the newspaper says their horoscope is from day to day. Can you imagine living your life that way? Well, you would if you were a magi. They were following the stars. Of course, astrology is all about seeing the patterns in the stars and trying to figure out, well, you know, if this constellation is in this position according to, you know, this planet, then you ought to have bacon instead of sausage for breakfast in the morning. Interesting, isn't it? How one day this group of men from the East, magi, magicians, astrologers, wise men perhaps, as they're following the star, it directs them to travel all the way to Judea. Because in their prophecies, in their looking around, they've noticed that a king would be born when a certain star appeared in a certain place in the sky. These are not Jews. As Nancy mentioned, really important and good historical information during the children's sermon, if you were paying attention, they would have been familiar with Judaism in the exile. The Jews and the Babylonians were next door neighbors to each other, and so they would know some things about Judaism. And in fact, modern day magi, those who are adherents to the religion known as Zoroastrianism, the worshipers of Zoroaster still live today, believe it or not, there are some Jewish influences there. And so they recognized that the king of the Jews would be born, and they decided to travel all the way to Judea, to discover where he is so they might worship him and bring him gifts. And so, where would you go if you were looking for directions to where the king was born? Well, you go to the palace in the capital city. They go to Herod, who's the ruler, the Jewish ruler of Judea who is placed there by the Roman Empire. And they ask Herod, where's the king born? Herod, being the good observant Jew that he is, has no idea what they're talking about and has to go ask the local ministers. He has to go down and ask the religious scholars, and they have to look up in the scripture where it is, and they finally find the place where it says in Bethlehem in Judea. And so they follow the star to Bethlehem, and Herod says, when you find him, come back and tell me where he is so that I might go and worship him too. Nudge, nudge, wink, wink, say no more, say no more. So they go, they bring gifts, they worship him. And they go back a different route because they were warned in a dream about Herod. Herod is like so many leaders who are drunk on power and very, very concerned about that power being taken away from them. powerful people have a way of taking it out on the weakest, the least. And if we know anything about Bethlehem as a town, it's out in the sticks. It's a country town with a whole bunch of people who probably, in the eyes of the king, are not going to amount to much anyway. And so a decree that every child under the age of 2 who happens to be a boy be killed if they live in or around the town of Bethlehem is followed without even so much as an eye batted. Can you even imagine? Can you even imagine? Powerful people have the life of everyone in their hands, and they can do exactly what they want whenever they want. Joseph is warned by an angel of the Lord that this is going to happen, so he and Mary, they take Jesus to Egypt. Egypt is the place where, of course, the Israelites spent 400 years in slavery. Isn't it strange and interesting that they have to leave the promised land and go to the land of their slavery so that they can be saved from a power-hungry madman? You might even call them refugees traveling to a distant country, displaced from their own land because of violence, which is a story that we have heard in our world today. Believe it or not, there are power-hungry madmen who are looking to kill innocent poor people. It happens all the time, all over the world. Right now, it happens to be concentrated in a couple of regions of the world, and people are pouring out of those places in record numbers, looking for some place to go where it is safe and warm. They can wait it out until the time comes when they can return back to their land in peace. That's exactly what Mary and Joseph and Jesus are doing. And they have to stay in Egypt long enough for King Herod to be killed or die of natural causes, whatever happens to him, his son becomes king, and it's safe then for them to travel back. Being warned in a dream not to settle in Judea, they go up to Nazareth in Galilee. All of this to fulfill Old Testament prophecy. There's a lot of ground covered in today's scripture reading, all the way from Egypt in the south, all the way around the sea, all the way up to Nazareth, which is way in the north. And you have Magi coming from the east. It's like the entire known world at this time. Like, the world drops off once you get on the other end of Egypt pretty far. And, well, out there to the east is just out there somewhere. And we have no idea how far out that goes, at least in biblical times. Lest we think that the birth of the Messiah is just a Jewish event only meant for one particular area, Matthew takes that idea and shakes it up really good just to see what happens. A reminder to us today, I think, that this story of Jesus is not just meant for us. Not just influenced by us. There are a lot of different roads that lead to Bethlehem. There are a lot of different paths that lead to following Jesus the Christ. Some of the paths are pretty well worn. I grew up in a Christian home, went to church my entire life, went to seminary, became a pastor. You know, my path was fairly straightforward. Yours, maybe not so much. Maybe you were baptized as an adult. Think about your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers. Where does their path lead? The wise men, the magi, they're reading their horoscope every day, living their lives according to that. And the star draws them to worship the Christ. Somewhat fitting, I think, that we read this story and think these thoughts as we gather around the table of our Lord. A table that reminds us of the unity that we have as the people of God. That young, old, rich, poor, all of those who yearn for the Christ, come to the table and eat. There's a challenge in this for us, I think, because, well, think about the scandal for the first century Jews in reading this story, in hearing this story told. That those who were outside of their own faith would be welcome to come and worship the Messiah. It's a wild story. Think about the most unlikely person that you know showing up in church one Sunday, coming and taking communion. Can you even imagine? There are some folks who believe that if they enter into a church, the building is going to collapse down on them because it's been so long in the way they've lived their lives. And the table of our Lord and our Jesus himself just laughs at such ideas. It says, come, all who are weary, carrying heavy burdens, come to me, for I will give you rest. All of the heavy burdens that you carry around. This is a global event, my friends. And it expands our imaginations, expands our understanding of who is welcome at the table and who isn't. Every time we want to put up a wall or put up a fence about who can come to the table, it's like God says, huh, that's funny, kind of smashes it to the ground and invites someone else to come on over. It's like, oh, you're going to draw the line there? Well, I'm going to knock that one over too. One of my professors told me once about visiting one of the national parks in this kind of nature preserve. And there is an invisible line where hunting is allowed versus where it's not. And this, like, you know, majestic, you know, moose is standing on the wrong side of the line. And a hunter walks up, and the moose kind of looks up and sees the hunter and takes three giant steps backward and then goes back about its business. You know, it's like the line is there. If as long as everyone acknowledges that the line is there, everyone is fine. But God sees the line and says, no line. There's no line. You show me the person who you think isn't welcome, God says, and I will take the opportunity to expand your horizons and tell you how wrong you are. The scandal of the gospel that astrologers and Egyptians and people from the East and people who live out in the sticks and people who move to the sticks and all are welcome at the table, friends. What good news for us today. Whoever you are, whatever you are, wherever you've come from, and wherever you're going after this, you're welcome at the table. Let's bow our heads together in prayer. Almighty God, we thank you for this lesson, for the enormous world that you introduce us to through this good news, through this gospel, for sending your Son, Jesus, that we might understand our world and our lives differently. Impact us through this word, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're able to stand, would you stand with me now as we profess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed? People of God, what do we believe?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit,